Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game related topics. On tonight's show, we will be covering what we've been playing, the news, and for our main topic, we are going to keep going with our top 10 mechanics. We got through them last week, but we didn't get to discuss them at all. So there was a lot of good stuff that came out of that I did want to discuss at further length. And I thought
absolutely. It was an interesting discussion.
Yeah, no, it was, and just why some stuff moved up, why some stuff moved down, some interesting mechanics that we came across, because I know you had mentioned a couple to me off the air.
Yes, there was one I mentioned that I really want to talk about. I thought it was hilarious. So yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's start with what we've been playing. Shay, did you get
me?
Did you get anything played last week? No, you were away, weren't you?
No, I did, but we didn't talk about what we've been playing last week.
Oh, right.
So I still have the game I played at game night on Friday, at Mr. Rao's game night.
Perfect.
Plus, I can continue to talk about the game that is definitely going to jump up, probably top five in my games of last year.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I mean, like of the ones that's coming, whenever we do that episode.
Okay.
But this game, we got to play Masters of the Universe, the board game Clash for Eternia.
Yes.
So this is a board game based on He-Man, the old 80s cartoon, you know?
Not the new Kevin Smith version.
Is that what the new one is?
Yeah.
Okay. Highly recommend, though, off topic, She-Ra cartoon, the new one. It's finished at this point, but it was excellent. Highly recommend that. But this is based off of the 80s He-Man cartoon, although there is an expansion with She-Ra in it. I think it's multiple expansions. And this is a semi-cooperative game. It can be played as one versus many.
Yeah,
or you can also play it, I think, as like a bunch of people versus an AI.
Yeah, I think there is an AI. I think it at its heart, it's one versus many, and it's one versus four at the highest player count.
Yeah. So we played it one versus two. Jordan was the one who taught the game, and he was the one who was the bad guys. He played as three different bad guys plus their minions. And then me and my mom played as the good guys. I was, who's the little guy? Why can't I remember his name?
Not Urkel. Orkel? Ork?
No. Yeah. I feel like you might be right. Anyway, the little guy, the ghosty guy.
The wizard.
I played as him, the wizard, that's it. And then Mum played as, I can't remember now.
She
I can't
was
remember who she
the,
played.
Tella.
Yes, the other female, the female character.
Yes, it's the one that He-Man likes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Makes sense. He-Man was ahead of its time, but still was the female character from what I gather until, you know, kind of She-Ra was a thing.
Yes.
So anyways, we played as those two characters. We controlled our heroes that had abilities, and our goal was to explore the map. We had to find the person we were trying to rescue, which is one of four people. And is that it? We had to do that.
Yeah, you find him and then bring him home.
We had to find him and bring him home. In doing that, we also had to fight people. Interesting game with you know, how you chose where there was a whole board where you chose which turn you were gonna play. There was spaces for the heroes, spaces for the villains. You didn't really know when the villains were gonna play, so you're kind of like guessing as you're going and trying to decide who should take their turn early to get the most benefit. You got energy if you went later, and that energy can be used to activate your powers for your individual character. And each time you find a person, you get to add another power to your board. Each time you get to one of the markings where a person could be, you get to add a power to your board. Plus, if somebody dies, you also get to add a power to your board.
Yes,
you get these abilities, and you're trying to save the day. Really enjoyed the game. I picked a really bad character for a two versus one.
With two players, you needed probably somebody who was a little bit more tanky just to help balance it out a bit.
Yeah, I chose the squishy wizard, and I was killed twice really early on because I was just in the middle of everything. I could see the use of the character, especially as I got more powers. But yeah, I just needed something that could take more hits because it was pretty easy to get ganged up on. And my mom's character was not, so I just kept getting knocked out. And if between culmination of you die three times, then you lose the game. Which is what ended up happening. Although we did find the person, and we started bringing him back, but we just weren't able to hang on. So yeah, so I think better character selection we might have had a better shot, but had a really good time. Really fun game. Would definitely play it again.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that where CMON got the license for this, and they could have really just mailed in this game and still done well. But the mechanics of it are really solid in that if I spend a
Yeah.
power, if I'm on the good guys, I spend a power, it goes to the bad guys, and
Right. Yes,
he gets to use
absolutely.
that to activate stuff. And I love that little mechanic. And so we tried the demo at Gen Con for this one, me and Jordan. One day, and we were like, this is a lot of fun. In the demo we won. I think the host was being nice to us,
Yeah,
because both
Jordan's
times,
mean.
yeah, Jordan was not as nice to us. So we played this at 3v1 one time with Jordan beating us. And so we have a few expansions. We have the She-Ra, and we have an Evil Horde, and I think a Castle Grayskull one or something. And then they did a reprint on GameFound, CMON's first one, which we talked about 2 weeks ago for the news, and backed a bunch more of this to get all the Kickstarter characters and stuff like this, because it's a game that we really enjoyed, and it's shown up on a few like top 10 games from last year, like in that 7 to 10 range, but still a lot of people were really surprised by this one, and I really like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got to play Trajan at the game night, and that is Stefan Feld, one of his classic Moncala slash Rondel games. And in it, you have 12 cubes on a board of six colors, and you pick up all in one space, and then you move them out Moncala style. And whatever you finish on, you get to do that action. There's about, I think there's five or six areas on the board, and that's how many different actions there are. And each spot, you can build, you can take some supplies, you can move up on the Senate track to give you points. There's some forum tiles, which you're trying to get the same colors of the Moncala pieces in the same area when you stop, and then that gives you some sort of bonus. There's an area for war where you're moving people around and moving your legionnaires, and there's a ship action where you can trade some different goods for points. There's a lot going on in this one, but it's a really solid game, one that I know you weren't a huge fan of when you played it.
No, I think I've talked about it before. I really wasn't a fan of this game.
But there are a lot of people that really like this one of his. It's probably top five of Stefan Feld's for me. There's a few that just keep moving in there, like Maracaibo's castles, Bonfire, all right up there. But this is right with those ones, is one of my favorites of his. I don't get to play it as often, but it's one that I really enjoy when I get out. So that is Trajan.
Cool.
And then last night we got to play Istanbul with all of the expansions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a 5x5 board, and three of us played, and we had a great time. Every time I play that game, I forget how straightforward all the actions are, but it's such a fun puzzle that as you're moving and trying to do stuff and adding in the extra expansions, there's two extra expansions that came in the big box, but they don't add any complexity. They just add more stuff to do. And so you can ignore them if you want, and it's not really going to punish you. But if you do want to do them, they're going to help you, right? So it's such a fun little game where you have your stack of people, and every time you stop, you have to leave one of your stack there to do that action. And every once in a while, you have to go back to the middle and pull them all back to you, or you go back and collect them as you land on them. And it's Istanbul is, to me, just a simple, fun game. It's probably medium weight, but it's in the lighter side of that because, you know, you go to a place, you take an action, next person's turn, and you're just trying to get 5 to 6 rubies to finish the game out. So they really, really do a great job on it.
Sweet.
And what's the other one you were going to talk about that might end up in your top five?
Oh, Turing Machine.
Oh, Turing Machine, right.
Yeah, because I stole it from you. So I was playing it before I left for Calgary, and then I played it a bit in the hotel room just on the bed.
Yeah.
So had a great time. I'm still attempting the hard levels.
Yeah.
Not fully getting them yet. And I think that's just because me and you talked about this. The clues for the harder sections are a little bit more open-ended, and I'm not 100% sure how to read them. So I need to look up online what people's advice are for those, because I got one that literally had 9 options that it could be, and I wasn't 100% sure how that worked.
Yeah.
But for like the standard going for multiple clues, like I was doing the 6 clues, which I think is the harder way to do it. I don't know if it's harder to do more or less. Probably more.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say. But I was doing that, and I was actually beating the computer in the amount of guesses I was taking. So having a great time with that one.
So I guess what you're saying is it's not top five of this year. It's going to be top five of all time. This one might hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You think it's going to move up that quick?
I think so. Like, if I'm just thinking about how we, you know, judge the, you know, we do the little selection thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, which would you rather play? And this game is one that I would, like, if somebody pulled this out and said, who wants to play this? I 100% would, yeah. Right? Like, there's no, I don't think I would say no to this game.
Okay.
And that's going to put it pretty high on the list, I think.
Cool. Yeah, and that's, is this 250 or 251? It's somewhere
this
in
episode,
there.
I thought it's 249.
Okay, it could be 240. We're right in that 250 range.
Yeah.
So that means another 8 weeks is when we start our year or our usual top 20s, right? Or our second year of top 20s. And then we'll do a special one on the side of me and you and Jordan for our top 10s. Cool. Okay. Cool. Let's get into the news, Shay.
Let's get into the news. A little bit today. I'm assuming next week we're going to hear more because Gamma is currently happening.
Yes.
Which I saw, man, I'm so sad because Darrington Press is at Gamma and they have so much Critical Role stuff set up. They showed on their Instagram and I'm like, and you didn't have any of it while we were at Gen Con? Come on. But not the point.
I was surprised that they didn't have a whole lot there. Like they just, I know, like there's Queen by Midnight, but it was through, not really through them, right? Or was it theirs?
Was there. Yeah, okay. It was theirs. It was just, that was all that was at their booth. And then they had like a thing for Daggerheart and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know what, let's call that our first piece of news. Daggerheart, I'm throwing TTRPG stuff in here because it just came out this week. Daggerheart is starting their open beta testing, or Darrington Press is starting open beta testing for Daggerheart, which is their new long form narrative storytelling game, or TTRPG. And that beta testing is open on the 12th. So I think what that means is they're going to release like a beta version of the rule sets so that anybody can try to kind of test it out.
Okay, so this is cool. their version of Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Slightly different. It's not a D20 system. It looks like it's a D12 system. Like you roll 2 D12s, which is wild. But yeah, kind of cool. And the art that I've seen from it is really awesome. So I'm excited to see kind of what the rules are going to look like.
Cool. And for those that don't know, Gamma is the trade show. It's in Reno, Nevada. And it's really geared at the publishers themselves getting together and talking. Mm-hmm. It's not really something that a lot of consumers go to. In a week from now, it's Dice Tower West. And that's the one that the consumers are going to go to, and
right.
But this is more just the manufacturers and the publishers themselves at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. On to actual board games. Recently announced like literally today, Mass Effect. Mass Effect board game. It's going to be a co-op story-driven board game. Set during or in Mass Effect 3, the video game.
Yep.
Asmodee is releasing this one. They said it's going to be about 3 to 5 chapters, and it sounds like an hour per chapter. So pretty small game, it sounds like, actually, for a story game, right? You know, if you compare it to, say, something like Gloomhaven, like this is kind of tiny.
Yeah, this is Eric Lang. He's
Oh,
doing
is
this
it?
one. Yeah.
I didn't see a designer on it. Yep.
Yeah, Eric Lang, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but the two fairly accomplished game designers are working on this one together.
Eric Lang did Ankh.
He
That's the one
did
I know him
on well,
from.
he did most of CMON stuff for about 5 years.
Yeah. So Mass Effect and really popular video games, so I'm sure there'll be lots of market for this one.
Yeah, I think it'll do well. It'll be a campaign. It'll be story driven, and that's what the video game was.
Exactly. Yeah. A game from Rebel Studio. This is a standalone game set in the world of a game they released previously called Chronicles of Avel. This is a
Yes.
Polish company. Chronicles of Avel, I haven't really heard of this one, but the cover of this game looks interesting. This game is, oh my goodness, guess what I did? I wrote down the news and I did not write down the name of the game.
I read this one and I can't remember it.
Hold that thought. It was the second thing I looked at. I will find it on BGG. Just hold the thought. There we go. Dungeon Legends. That's why the cover looked really cool and it caught my attention and I didn't write it down. But it's called Dungeon Legends. It's set in the world of Chronicles of Avel. And yeah, it's supposed to come out late 2024. And it's a cooperative, it's also a cooperative card-based story game. This is set to be an intro to deck building, is how they're describing it.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen Chronicles of El. I've never played it, but I have seen it, and the reviews on it have been solid.
Yeah, it looks kind of fun. Something relevant to a game you just purchased while we were in Calgary. A promo pack of tokens. It almost sounds like a mini expansion to Reiner Knizia's Blem Space Agency, the cat game.
Okay, that's the dog one, right?
This is Blep, Cosmic Pioneers. And yeah, it sounds like it adds dogs who maybe get in the way of your cats. But it's a promo token pack, basically.
Yeah, this Mlem is a cute little cat push your luck game. Cats going into space, which is all animals this year went into space, it seems like. And so yeah, the dog one, the cover looks hilarious and everything.
Yeah, so seems cute, and you can pre-order this.
Cool.
Portal Games, they are releasing Printing Press, which is a thematic sequel to Gutenberg. It is not an expansion, and it's really funny actually because on their cover art, they put the printing press letters back, like on the cover, and they're backwards. And if you read them, they say this is not an expansion,
Yes.
which I'm a big fan of. And it sounds like you're fulfilling orders and bringing renown to your workshop. I've played Gutenberg once, and it sounds very similar. I'm not 100% sure what the total differences between the two games are, but I know you said you had heard good things about Printing Press.
Why I had seen the cover. They say it is a different take on it, but if you put Gutenberg and Printing Press together, they look almost identical. Right. So I am curious what the difference are of
What
the
the difference
games.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
This
I
game comes out
really
in
like
March.
Gutenberg.
So, yeah, it's a great game. Comes out in March. So, I guess we'll find out then.
Cool.
Awakened Realms, famously of Castles of Burgundy Special Edition, are doing another special edition. They
Yes.
are partnering with Ravensburger and they are bringing you Puerto Rico Special Edition.
Of 1893 Puerto
Dun,
Rico.
dun, dun. That's the new one, right?
Yes.
Okay,
That's
that's
the
what I
new
thought.
one that they released and then pulled back and then
Yeah.
sort of released again. It
Yeah.
really, really got panned because of all the errors and almost to an unplayable ability of errors.
Yeah. So hopefully Awakened Realms makes, you know, this the good printing of it.
Yeah.
It will also include a single player, a new expansion, and obviously revised graphic design and UI in there. So it'll be
Yes.
pretty for sure. And that game is not pretty looking on the shelf. So,
Yeah, so there was some anger towards this because
Because they haven't fixed the original printing?
Well, no. Awakened Realms, to quickly do some publicity for this, used AI art.
Oh, geez.
And quickly pulled it down. And Ravensburger said, what are you doing? So that's been pulled down. They're just, it's so new, they didn't have any art for it. And they apologized, and everybody makes a mistake. And what can you do, right?
I give most people one for this, because
they are not known for this, because their art is amazing for all of their games. That's the thing.
They've always done a good job. Yeah. Sometimes it can be they handed it to somebody and that somebody just didn't do their job and grabbed the wrong thing, or somebody looked something up to make it similar and they didn't realize what they grabbed was AI art. So I'll give them one. Now, if it's a reoccurring thing, I no longer give them one. Because you can say you don't like it all you want, but if you keep showing it, then we're going to have a problem.
Exactly.
Anyway, on to another game from Legacy Legends, Matt Leacock and Rob DeVal.
Davio.
I'm going to say his name. Davio, thank you. They are making a game called Ziggurat, or releasing a game called Ziggurat. A ziggurat, for those who are interested, is basically a pyramid. The pyramid.
Yep.
So Ziggurat the Legacy game, it's a co-op adventure game. Lots of co-op games on the news this week. Co-op adventure game. It has a 3D pyramid, and you are basically unraveling the story of this ancient structure, which supposedly has something to do with dragons. Either there's a dragon underneath, or there used to be dragons on it, and you're playing through the story and adding things to the board as you unravel the story of the game.
Excellent. You know,
they make a really good game. So, and I love anything with 3D aspect to it. So I'm kind of down for having a pyramid. And this game is supposed to be one that you're left with a board you can continue to play afterwards.
Yeah, and they did Pandemic Legacy. They did Risk Legacy together. So these guys can make a good game. So
they make a good Legacy game.
Yeah. So it's very exciting to see.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, can I talk about one more thing?
Yep.
Do you have time? Perfect. Catalyst Games announced Runefire, which just, this is crazy. So Runefire is based off of 2014's game Shadowrun Crossfire, and is by the designers of Dragonfire, which is also based off of Shadowrun Crossfire. And it's a card-based legacy game. Dragonfire was based in the world of Dungeons and Dragons. And Runefire is based in the world of Pathfinder. So this is partnered with Paizo, and they're making a Pathfinder-inspired version of this game. I don't know much about it, but, you know, it sounds kind of fun, and they were like, there's like three different games all in this world now, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got about 5 minutes. I want to quickly say this Friday, Amazing Stories, Friday Night Games with Board on the Air. I've had a request to do a Vladimir Succi night. So we're going to bring that. They're a little bit heavier. So I will bring some lighter stuff for those people that aren't into those, but there should be two or three heavy games going as well. And hopefully see you there.
Cool.
Let's get into our main topic. We're just going to do a review of our mechanics. So for you, Shay, I know, did you write down what you had last year to what was this year, or?
I did, and actually, I forgot to grab the book that has what I did last year. I can grab it, though.
You grab the book.
I'm going to grab the book. I have it in two different books for some reason, so.
Yeah, so for me, at the top, worker placement was the same. Everybody knows, I talk about it regularly, that I love worker placement games, so that change didn't surprise me at all. The one that sort of surprised me the most was 2 years ago, my number one, or well, when we did this 3 or 4 years ago, my number 10 was Press Your Luck. And that moved up to number two this time. And I think it's just because I have fun with that, right? I'm not a gambler in real life, but in board games, I love, you know, let's see what I can do. And it's in a number of games from Quacks, but also one of the new ones that we played a lot is Clank Catacombs. And there's a lot of push your luck as to, you know, go deeper into that tunnel or deeper into that cave to get back. Right. And I really had fun with that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, was there any for you that really surprised you?
I don't think much shocked me. Probably like if I went back 4 years when we did this and I told that Shay that worker placement was going to be on this list, she would have been shocked. I'm not shocked because we've joked about it for 3 years about how so many games I enjoy have worker placement. So it's not surprising, but it is just funny to me. And generally the or sorry, generally the thing I noticed with mine is a lot of the storytelling and legacy games have jumped up because I've been introduced to those now.
Oh, for sure. And the thing that, like, as we've talked about, is a lot of these mechanics are ones that they get combined a lot now.
Yeah.
So it's not just worker placement anymore. It's worker placement and this. It's push your luck and this. It's, all of those that, like, there's no one game, very few of the games we play are true this anymore, right?
Yeah,
They're all
absolutely.
hybrids now, especially like, the deck building worker placement aspect with like Dune Imperium and
Everdell.
Everdell and Lost Ruins of Arnak. Those ones are really shooting up the chart for me and stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you have any honorable mentions that you didn't get to mention?
I last time we did this on my and number 10 was variable player powers and number 7 was simultaneous action. Those still are things I absolutely love. There was just other ones that took their spots.
Yeah. One that was just missed was a variable turn order, where you're playing, but something you do gives you an earlier go in the next game, or you have to do something like in Zolkin to get the first player marker. I like games like that, that there's an additional challenge to it, but it's one of those side things to a game. I enjoy it in a game, but it's not something I'm gonna search out a game because it has it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say one, and this is the one that we kind of briefly mentioned at the beginning. One of my favorite things looking up the mechanics is what new ones are on there. And I have to laugh that engine building isn't technically a mechanic, but a mechanic that does exist is called the Prisoner's Dilemma, problem, which those of you who like philosophy, it is a philosophy problem where generally, like, you take two prisoners into a room and you say, like, if you do this, then you'll be fine. But if the other person does it, you're both in trouble. And if neither of you do it, that's actually the best option for you. You'll famously see it in The Dark Knight, with the two boats. That's
For
the
sure.
best example of it I can give. That's marked as a mechanic. There is a game just called The Prisoner's Dilemma, and there are games that they give as examples that are Prisoner Dilemma ideas. And it's just really funny to me to have a mechanic that is based off of a relatively famous philosophical problem.
Okay, and we're gonna call that a show. I'm David.
All right, I'm Shay.
We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good